Well, tonight, as you all have given words of praise or pieces of testimony, even during a prayer request time, we see throughout our lives there are times that we call defining moments. Every day, they can be large. They can be something that makes a major change in our lives, or it can be something fairly small. Each of those moments that we face, that we consider defining moments, each of those moments consist of many different, a variety of emotions. Could be fear, could be excitement, could be shame, maybe forgiveness. But each of those moments shape us or change us into who we are today. Peggy just said, I wasn't what I used to be, and I'm not what I'm going to be. I'm somewhere in the middle. Now, I know for me, there were all kinds of circumstances that God allowed me to go through that creates who I am today, standing here on a Wednesday night in 2010. I thought today, I was born in America. So when I was 5 years old, my parents sent me to school. That's what we do here. Had I been born in Africa or some kind of third world country, maybe at 5 years old I'd be sent to a farm to work, to provide food for my mother, my father, and my siblings, or to provide possibly some kind of income for extended family. So our circumstances are different, but they define who we are. And God, if He is in control, and I believe He is, but I'm making a statement, if God is in control, then everything He allows me to pass through, He's using to build me and define me into who I am. Now that could be personal, on a personal level, and it could be as a people, as a family. It could be as a nation. There are defining moments that happen to us. Over a relatively short 35 years that I've been alive, I've lived through numerous moments that have defined not only my life, but have defined us as a nation and as a world. You watch many transitions. I think back and think about some of these. We could go all across this sanctuary tonight. You could share. I remember old black and white TV. Boxy. You had to walk to it and turn the channel. I remember the U. If you wanted to go past 13, it had to be on U, and then you go to the... Those are all funny. You can't find that today. In fact, you'd be hard-pressed to find anything but a flat-screen TV today if you were to go buy a TV. Now, I'm not so sure that one is better than the other, because it was the moment, it was the times that we lived in. Things like a computer. Computers used to be the size of a room. Now they're handheld. They're changes. And they define and change who we are as people. Moments in history label us as who we are. Now, there are a few that some of you may remember more than the rest of us. Some of us may have read about moments in history. Maybe we were not alive when it happened. But I bet for some of you here tonight, you remember this one. On November the 22nd, 1963, President John F. Kennedy was shot, killed in Dallas, Texas. No one then alive can forget where they were when they heard the news. The shock and sorrow of that event and the three subsequent days became embedded into the national conscience. Images of a funeral, the boy's salute, the widow's composure, these are all tucked away, but they're never forgotten. Now, I wasn't alive in 1963, but for those of you who were, probably you remember that day. And it defined who we are as a nation. Now, it didn't change us as a nation, but you remember that moment. It was a milestone. Things were not the same after that. This moment in history defined us. What about December the 7th, 1941, an ordinary Sunday morning in Honolulu, Hawaii, just before 8 a.m. amidst peace and quiet and without warning, Japanese aircraft filled the skies and attacked Pearl Harbor and other military bases on the island. Thousands of people were killed, and the United States plunged into World War II. That moment changed who we are as a nation. It changed. We, during that time, and I'm not a major history person, so let me just give you what I think happened. Don't correct me afterwards if I'm wrong. Just leave me ignorant about it. We were aiding Britain, but we were not really a part of the war. But we were thrust into the midst of the war when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. It changed who we are as a nation. It was a defining moment for this country. Or what about October 22nd, 1962? President John F. Kennedy imposed a U.S. naval blockade of Cuba after U.S. spy planes found Soviet missile sites on the communist-ruled island. In a televised speech, the president said, "Medium-range nuclear weapons arrayed at nearly completed bases were capable of striking major American cities, including Washington." The president said the United States would not exclude using military force to end what he called a clandestine, reckless, and provocative threat to the world peace. Thus opened the public phase of the Cuban Missile Crisis. For the next 6 days, it threatened to precipitate a nuclear war between the world's two superpowers. The Joint Chiefs of Staff, who had advised Kennedy to order a surgical strike to take out the missiles, put U.S. military forces around the world on DEFCON 2, the highest military alert ever reached in the post-war era. Now, if you were alive during those days, and I've seen clips on the History Channel or something, how scary those days were, because we were just very close. Now, I know that God's a part of this equation, but just follow me. We were very close to annihilating ourselves. That moment changed us. On September the 11th, I was alive for that one. I remember that morning. And I remember turning on the TV and watching what they thought was an accident at first, that a plane had collided with one of the towers. And then as we watched that broadcast, to realize that it was not an accident, but it was actually calculated, and that the second tower would be struck. And I remember there were a lot of people afraid of what was about to happen. What were they afraid of? We're superpower, right? I mean, that's the perception that we kept. We were a superpower. No one could penetrate us. We were the strongest military in the world. And we're okay, but there was a lot of people afraid during that time. And churches were flocked in the weeks after, wondering what might just happen after this. It changed us. And there are many more. We could go on through the night. D-Day, the Normandy invasion, Martin Luther King assassination, Iran hostage crisis. They all defined who we are. Moments in history who defined us as a nation and as individuals. They defined who we are. Space Shuttle Challenger explodes. I remember sitting in a classroom at East Lawrence Elementary School and watching the TV in the corner, and the space shuttle exploded. I'm not sure that I knew that's what happened at first until the newscasters told us that's what happened. But I remember that it went on and on and on, and they talked, trying to figure out what happened. What exactly happened? But it changed us as a nation. When you compile all these things, when you put them all together, it changed who we are as people. And so tonight, what I'm trying to communicate is that whether it's just little small pieces of that I grew up in a divorced home, so that changed who I was, as an individual, or if I share these cases in United States history and their world, other things that happen, these all happen to pertain to the United States and U.S. history. But world history, there have been moments that it changed who we are. While these moments in history changed us forever, some impacted us to a greater extent than others. While some defining moments are on a personal level, other defined us as a people, as a nation, as a culture. But the greatest defining moment that mankind has ever known has yet to be discovered by some people. It's yet to be discovered by some people. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth into Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." Now, we just came through the Christmas season and we read it. And we read it every year. I have. But when we realize what exactly Luke's saying here, today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. And I didn't realize in 1992 that Savior was born to me, and it would define who I am. It would change me forever. I read the Christmas story. I knew it. "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." And when the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. A baby came and changed everything. Changed everything in history. "For unto us a son is born, for unto us a Savior is given, a Savior who promised to forgive us for our sin, a Savior who promised to save us from our sin, a Savior who came to provide mankind a platform on which to stand when we address God, a Savior who provided the opportunity for us to address God as Heavenly Father. In spite of our past, in spite of our failures, in spite of our sin, a Savior came to draw near to those of us who have been drawn away by sin. A Savior that brings peace, the kind of peace that allows us to lie in bed at night and know that everything in this world is not right, and everyone around us is not right, but things between me and God can be okay. Not because of what we have done, but because of what He has done on our behalf. For unto us a son is born, for unto us a son is given, and His name is Christ the Lord. And He defined tonight who I am. And He defined who you are. But the greatest defining moment, as we talk about history and moments in history that have happened, as I was talking earlier, this moment that is the greatest moment has yet to be discovered by all. But the moment that comes along, that those who have not yet discovered that, discover it, they'll realize there's not a greater moment in history than when the Savior of the world came to provide peace and life for me, for us, for the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this greatest defining moment for me, for us. A baby was born and everything changed. Everything. Tonight, we no longer have to depend on a man to take a sacrifice into a temple to atone for my sin or my family's sin. Jesus took care of that once and for all. And no longer do I need a man to go into Your presence on my behalf. You said I could come boldly right into the very throne room because of what Jesus did. A baby was born and everything changed. And tonight, Lord, we are so thankful. I am so thankful that You saw fit to reach down over 17 years ago. And for many across this sanctuary tonight, even longer than that ago, to reach down and to reveal to us as individuals that a baby was born and everything has changed. And we thank You tonight for the awesome privilege we have to call You Heavenly Father, the awesome privilege we have to lay down in bed tonight and to know that this peace that passes all understanding is ours because of what You have done on our behalf. We thank You, Lord. We pray for those tonight, all across this world, who have yet to discover this greatest defining moment in history that can make all the difference in the world for them. We pray tonight that it would be revealed to our friends, to our family, to the young man tonight that's addicted to pornography, to the young lady tonight who's looking for love in all the wrong places, for the family that's on the edge, that's about to break and bust. Lord, we pray tonight for the older gentleman who's wishing for yesterday, for the older lady who's wishing that she could do what she once did. Lord, we pray that You would reveal Yourself to us all and that we would stand in absolute awe before You and that we would give You the glory and praise that You are worthy of tonight. We thank You again for a church family who we can gather together with and encourage and hear words of testimony and prayers that lift our hearts and encourage us. We thank You tonight. Lord, go with us through the rest of this week. Watch over us and protect us and help us to be Your hands and feet in this world and help us to reveal the Christ, the baby who was born, who changed everything, to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.